Welcome to Chai with Samgyosa. I'm your host, Samgyosa, live from Birmingham. Wherever you are, whether you are in any country, it's good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. Hope you are doing great and keeping safe and healthy. My podcast has been in inception since June 2020, and I have privileged to invite some amazing guests. You can find my podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and other major platforms. Today, I have an amazing guest all the way from Germany, Richard Ehring. His journey has a turning point where he was enjoying or living in a very sunny country, and now he's going to come back to Germany. Let me give you a bit about his journey. Richard is actually a transformation life coach. He's a facilitator, yoga, breathwork, meditation teacher. He's a consultant and author. Now, he had a autoimmune disease and creating a life of freedom. That's where he's gone through. We would go deeper in this area. But now, currently, what he is actually helping a lot of professionals is reduce stress, anxiety, and overwhelming, learning to manage chronic illness and autoimmune disease with mindset. So welcome, Richard, to my podcast, Chai with Samgyosa. It's a privilege to invite you to my podcast.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much, Sam.
It's a pleasure. It was all mine. So tell us who Richard is and what is his purpose in this transient world.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So as you mentioned at the beginning, I'm a coach. There's a lot of us out there like yourself. My passion is in helping people work with stress and you know, some of the kind of illnesses that we can actually have as a result, to just find more balance in their lives and from there go on to do something that they're passionate about, or perhaps continue to do the same thing that they're already doing, but with more passion. We don't have to change our entire lives to find happiness. And I'm doing this because I was able to do the same with mine. As you mentioned, I had a pretty serious illness diagnosed when I was 26 with that. And it was my choice to say, hey, I want to work with this. I don't want to sit with this and let it define my experiences and my life. And it's not been an easy journey, but it's been a powerful one. And so, you know, today I don't suffer from any symptoms of my illness, which is a pretty cool thing, but considering autoimmune diseases, you know, carry a pretty heavy weight with them. And I like to work with people, like I said, to not try and cure something like this. I don't think it's an integrity to come out with a claim like that, but definitely to say, look, how can I start to work with this? You know, not see it as like a ball and chain and as something that is here to teach me something. And what can I learn from that? And how can I start to integrate it more in my life and understand where it comes from, that kind of thing.
Well, that's amazing. Just to give us a brief that when people talk about, a lot of people do not talk about this autoimmune disease and all sorts of things. Just give me a brief of that, what exactly it entails and how it affects the body or mind and moods. And how do you go through with this sort of thing when you have something like this?
Sure. Well, I'll speak about mine just because that's the one that, you know, obviously I have experience with. There are a lot out there. What happens is we get pretty stressed in our lives. And, you know, the stress is a part of daily life, but the idea is that we find balance again afterwards. And there's many ways to do this. But what we're seeing now in society, Western society in particular, and I'm sure it's spreading, is like chronic stress, right? And so we're not finding balance afterwards. We're worried about, you know, our income, our job, whatever the stress is, there's a lot out there. And then that starts to over time affect the body. And so stress, we now know, is that the kind of, it's what underlines or what causes inflammation. And inflammation is when the body becomes inflamed, when we're so stressed that the immune system starts to kind of break down, right? And so it feels like we're in that fight or flight state all the time, where there's always a threat there. And this isn't good for our body. It's not good for our body at all. And so a particular area might start suffering more. And in my case, it was my colon. So right around, you know, lower stomach, that kind of area. And I started receiving ulcers, and I'll spare you the gory details, but inflammation is at the root of 95% of all lifestyle illnesses. So things that we're not born with. So we've got this link between stress, inflammation, and diseases where the immune system starts attacking itself, right? And there's just all too many kind of instances around of this around the world. And from that place, we can start taking medication, which will treat the symptom itself. But as you know, you may have heard, it won't go to the root of the problem, so that it might mask the symptom. But what's causing that stress in the first place? And that is something that interests me, and that doctors, unfortunately, most of the time don't have time to help their patients with. And that's no criticism of where they're at. It's just the system that they're working in. And so what happens when we can come in and start speaking to why are you stressed? What's going on? I mean, it doesn't mean that we can just make all of that stress and therefore the symptoms disappear, but we can start getting much more familiar with what's happening, start to recognize, start to accept and work with. And so if we can start to work with the stress and not fear what that might lead to, that can make a big impact.
Absolutely. I think what has happened is a lot of people, as you said, you know, is the quick fix. It's a quick fix when we people talk about, you know what, I got a headache, I'm just going to take two pills, paracetamol, and that's it. It's going to sort me out. And it does sort you out for quickly, or you take a couple of other medication, which is very powerful and will reduce the stress for you. Stress, there are two sets of stress, if you are aware that there is a good stress and there is a really bad stress. The good stress, which I define, is you have to have a stress in your life to push you towards the right goals and everything. Yeah, and a lot of things are bad stress, which are the stress which you are taking it without, you do not want to take it, but because society is pushing it through to you, and you are taking that because you're listening to a lot of negativity on TV or watching, listening to news or watching TV and everything negative, and then you start into this stress mindset where it says, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to survive? What's going to happen to my children? What's happened to my family? What's happened to this? So you started getting so much wind up that you forget that, okay, this is just the media. Don't indulge yourself. But because we are surrounded by so many people, and our loved ones also talk about those sort of things, and you say, yeah, that must be really important for me to be participating in. And that's what has happened. A lot of people indulge themselves, and they might get completely stuck in, not realizing that there was the biggest mistake they've done. And as you mentioned about, you know, a lot of things is about educating a lot of people. And doctors are not going to take responsibility. Doctors have only 10 minutes of span of discussion with you. You tell the symptoms and they will find the solution for you. And that's it. They're not going to be deeper down and say, you know, you start looking at this, your diet, change the diet, or you do mindfulness, or you start looking at this holistic approach and everything. Not many people deal upon sort of those sort of things. And as you mentioned, that we have to take care of our own health, as nobody is going to take care of our health, is our responsibility. And as you mentioned, yeah, intelligence. And I was talking about emotional intelligence, correct? And emotions, if you will not express the emotions, whether it's anger, whether it's grief, whether it's sadness, whether it's any sort of emotion, what we are doing is we are suppressing them into our body. And when we are suppressing the emotion in our body, it becomes the disease in our body because we are not letting them out, especially men. We do not take out our emotions out because we've been told that men don't cry. That's the society norm. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more with pretty much everything that you said. I mean, let's also just briefly highlight that, you know, as a 26-year-old single man back then, you know, I had the time and the luxury to start to work with a lot of this stuff. But, you know, if you're a bit older and, you know, you have commitments, you have, you know, kids, and it's a bit harder, you know, and it adds to the pressure of like, oh, I should be now meditating. I should be now doing yoga. I've got to take care of my diet. And it adds to almost the pressure of, you know, getting it right. And that becomes counterproductive. And then that becomes, as you would label it, bad stress as well. So it's a tricky thing. And so I think we need to look into, re-educating people from a much younger age. And I'm also recording a separate podcast on men, you know, and talking about reimagining men, because as you rightly pointed out, you know, men have a lot to answer for. You know, we've, you know, there's a separate topic, but one of the reasons why we've made a few mistakes, shall we say, over the years and not done things as ideally as we could have done is because of this societal kind of idea that we need to be strong, we need to have it all together, and that we have had no kind of roadmap on how to deal with emotions, right? So I work with this area, so do you. So it's perfectly normal for us to, you know, sit with our bodies and feel a sensation and, okay, understand what emotion that's linked to, not identify with it, just let it be there and then let it pass. Maybe speak to it to somebody, you know, things like this, which seem like the norm for us and are just super healthy things to do for a lot of men, especially. They haven't got the time to do it. It doesn't sound masculine, but, you know, it's not okay. And they've no idea how to do this kind of thing. And so, as you rightly pointed out, they do not express what they're feeling, and suppressed emotions, you know, they will leak out in some way, and that will become a stress, that will become some kind of illness. I mean, that's a very kind of Ayurvedic perspective, isn't it? And I'm down with that completely. But it will also seep out in unhealthy ways. And that's where we start to see unhealthy male behavior, which is not helpfully labeled as toxic masculinity. I think that's not a great phrase, but it's a coverall. And what it's trying to say is that there's really unhealthy male behavior out there. And I believe that this is a lot of it. A lot of it is at the root of us being unable to express our emotions. We're kids a lot of the time. And again, there's no expectation that we should do better. I think that's also putting a lot of pressure on, but it comes down to, wouldn't you say, self-responsibility again. You know, like, okay, there's something I need to deal with here. And then from that place of being willing to step up, then I think real change can happen.
Yeah, that's right. But the one thing which I would like to point out here is that you yourself is number one. If you look at it, because this is me, Sam Dosa, I am number one in my own eyes. If I don't see that, then what you are doing, actually, you are giving your leash to somebody else to take care of it. If you're not going to look after your own health, nobody else will help your body, correct? You have to look after your diet. You have to look after your exercise. You have to look after your mental and emotional well-being and everything, correct? So I remember I went through with my own journey. I brought up 3 kids with me, and I had given them everything what I supposed to as a father. And I remember once in 2006, my ex-wife decided to study full-time. And I said, you know what? I'll take full responsibility. Let us study full-time. I will take care of my 3 kids. I will take care of the house. I'll take care of the, what I call it, my job, full-time job. And I did. I became the overall provider of everything. On whose expense? My expense. I wasn't happy. I wasn't completely shut down. I was not behaving the way I was behaving and everything. And that day, I remember, I took an oath and I said, you know what? I will be number one. I will eat first. I will look after my health. I will look after my body in terms of what I'm taking. I'll look after my mind, what I'm reading or listening. I'm not going to take anybody else's baggage on me. And that day I started looking after me, and people used to say to me, how could you eat first? So how could you don't look after your other children? I said, listen, I have to remember, I have to be stronger to help everybody else. If I'm not stronger, how am I going to help other people? You tell me. And since then I started to say to a lot of people, because you are number one. If the number one is not right, how are you going to help number 2, 3, 4, and 5? Number one is completely dead. So you have to remember, you are number one. You need to look after yourself. What's your thought on that?
I mean, self-responsibility, I think, is one of the key points in us being able to shift our entire culture and society. I think a lot of anger that we're seeing is projected. I think a lot of people are not willing or too scared to, or just can't see their own sort of emotional state. And rather than deal with how they feel and sit with themselves for a moment, they'll externalize that. And that's kind of a natural form of, you know, of the human mind. And so the more we as individuals take self-responsibility, the better. I don't have kids. And so I'll admit to perhaps not being able to relate to a part of what you said, but that kind of eating before your kids thing, the part of me was like, like it does seem quite a lot, right? So like in my mind as a father or mother, I'm there to kind of provide for my children. I must take care of myself. And yet something didn't land with that. So like, what do you notice in my kind of reaction there? And what are there any, were there any costs to that approach for you in your relationship to your children? Because there's no perfect way to do anything. So yeah, I'd love to ask you those things.
No, look, what happened was, you know, when your children are sick and you have to be stronger, so you have to start thinking about your own body. Because I sometimes have to rush to the hospital to take my daughter because she was asthmatic. I was to make sure that my other two kids were already in the right form. It's not that I was neglecting them in any ways in terms of not feeding them. My question was that I was always, as a father, I was preparing food. While I was preparing food for them, I was making sure that I had something to eat myself as well. So it's the balance on how I was looking after myself. It's not about that I was starving them and I'll say, yo, I should be very healthy first and I'm not going to give you food. It was not like that. What I was saying over here was that you have to look after your body to maintain, to attend to everything else which has been offered. Why I brought this question over here is because in the society, everybody comes to you and says, oh, I got a problem. And you say, yeah, I can solve your problem. Come and tell me your problem. You are going through your own uncertainty in your life. But you always have a brave face and you smile and you just say, yeah, come to me and I'm going to sort your problem out. Down the line, 1 or 2 weeks down the line, you see that person is on bad. Nobody is talking. Nobody is thinking about this person. But that person was always present in your life, listening to you and everything, and he suddenly vanished. Do we always think that that person, what that person is going through, or that person himself think that I'm taking too much on my shoulder, I'm not supposed to? But because we have been taught in our society or in our literatures and everything, make sure that you look after others, make sure that you look after your neighbor, make sure that you look after everybody else before you think about your own self. Well, we have been conditioned to a lot of things. But we have to start thinking about, yeah, we have been given that responsibility. But whose responsibility is to look after yourself? Your responsibility. And that we forget about those things. Correct? And we just build upon supporting somebody else.
Understood. Yeah. For me, there's almost like a balance because just because of my own experience in the last few years of living in Bali, mm-hmm. I've looked after myself. I've prioritized my mental health. I've prioritized my own self-development. But, you know, I could, and I did sit for, you know, days and days kind of in cafes, journaling. It comes a point where that, if we're not careful, can just descend into narcissism. So I'm coming really strongly from the other perspective, which is, hey, we've forgotten what community actually means. So yes, to what you just said, we need to be responsible for ourselves and be in a good state so that we can show up for other people. But the so that is really key, isn't it? Because community in the past was like, to be a pillar of your community meant to show up in some way, especially if you had a bit more money and you'd still live in that area and you'd show up. And the Carnegies and the people, the Rockefellers that gave a lot of their fortunes, you know, like all those years ago, that was kind of the cool thing. Now millionaires, billionaires would live in very separate places and communities. You know, I live in a block of flats here in Hamburg and I don't know anyone in the other flats, and that's kind of a shame, you know, like, and no one's running around to sort of say hi to each other. Everyone's minding their own business. And if there were more a sense of community and showing up for the elders in our localities or tribes and listening to their wisdom and going, looking back in that sense, it'd be a very different world. But that's not where we're at. So I really feel like it's a strong balance. Like, take care of yourself so that you can then show up, because that seems to be, for me, quite purpose fulfilling, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about chronic illness, as you said, you know, we are piling up a lot of things in our body. We are piling up. We are not looking after. We are not thinking outside the box. Within the corporate environment, you're looking at, okay, yeah, we have to work harder and smarter. No, smarter and not harder, smarter. Now, majority of people are working from home. And a lot of people are thinking, have to manage our time. I've seen some people actually emailing about 9 o'clock in the night, even though they worked whole day. Yeah. But they're sending me a message at 9 o'clock. You know, some one paralegal just sent me a message about 9 o'clock in the night. And I'm just looking at it, how you are managing your mindset or how you're managing your workflow. People who got children, I understand. And companies are giving them flexibility. And they are going into this flexibility mode now, that where we are at home, we know now we schedule everything. I'm going to be doing schooling here. And then I come back and then do my work. And then I go back and make some food for my daughter or son and something like that. I come back and do my work. So we are creating a very good balance. We are not commuting to your workplace. Yeah, it was very good when we were having a conversation with your colleagues over here, there, and everywhere, and you were having peace of mind because your children were at school and you were here. But now the entire dynamic has changed, correct? People are bringing everything that back to normal. And do you think that it's going to, it already has created so many mental health issues right now with kids, with youth, with elder people, a lot of people who are been sitting at home lonely. And it created a lot of mental health issues right now. But in your view, as a transformation coach, how do you see the new change in your perspective?
Well, as someone that's used to working from home and has been, you know, since 2007, really, you know, I've gone through phases of wanting that connection and reaching out for co-working spaces and finding, well, actually, I'm not involved with these other people's lives. I'm just around humans as opposed to being on my own. So that's a step in the right direction. But the value of working in a team, I mean, even if I'm someone that is better off on my own, the value of being part of something bigger, I think people are experimenting and experiencing a huge shift and being forced to experience that shift. But my sense is they will want to come back to a sense of community, even within work, and just being able to have a little cigarette break or a little coffee break. And there's a value in real human interaction that, you know, you and I are communicating via Zoom and it's great, but you know, we all quickly realize that it's not the same thing. And so in terms of mindset, what we're now experiencing is, like, unless you have crystal clear boundaries, you're going to run into problems. And no one has crystal clear boundaries. You know, that it's again one of these basic skills that we need to learn much earlier in life, you know, setting boundaries. And there's an interesting overlap between, say, depression and what we're experiencing at home at the moment in lockdown. In that depression, you're sat around the flat, you're not doing much, and lines between, you know, where you eat dinner and you know, you're playing games, you're communicating on the computer, it's all blurred and it's all kind of the same. And so there's this, life just becomes this thing where you become more and more kind of shut off and isolated. And that's, I think that's what we're seeing. Like, a lot of people, especially if they're on their own, there's a high percentage of people that still live on their own, are feeling isolated, even if they are technically sort of connected and communicating with people, because there is a disconnect. It's not the same thing. You know, touch is a beautiful thing. And I think we're seeing, we don't realize just how dangerous this could be for our mental health. You know, we need connection, and we're just starting to realize what that actually means and requires. And my hope, being an optimist, is that when COVID, you know, dies its death and we start heading back to work again, there will be a shift, undeniably. People want that flexibility and that freedom, but there'll be a craving for real human contact and hopefully a deepening of connections with people at work, you know, so that there's more respect, there's more intention when we do speak. How long it lasts, I don't know, but I'm an optimist, and I think we're craving for it at the moment.
Yes, we are. We are craving for it. Actually, I'm a little bit, I'm optimistic. But I'm also a little bit skeptical about our youth. The last statistic I read was very unpleasant. And young children are suffering more depression in terms of, we know that people who have lost their jobs are going through with uncertainty at the moment as well. But I'm looking at the youth who are going through with the change where they can't have a communication with their friends, or even though they are, I got three kids as I mentioned, and sometimes I speak to them and they said, I went to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me? Yeah, because they said, we are talking to our friends. We are playing games on the computer because we can't see them. So there are certain children who are making effort to do those sort of things, but certain children are not doing it because they might not have that facility, or they might have something else. The dynamic of the house is different, how parenting has been done and how everything. And that's why I wanted to bring in emotional intelligence very importantly over here, is that is emotional intelligence how you look at things, how you understand your own emotions, how you manage them. Because a lot of people talk about controlling them. You can't control anything. You can't control the way you think. You can't control the way people think about you. You just manage everything. And that's the beauty of learning emotional intelligence. And it's a learnable skill. It's nothing new. It's been in our society for a long time. But because we only talk about IQ, I say you have to be intelligent quotient. That's you. You have to be Einstein or something like that. You can be a great doctor or great scientist if you do not have emotional intelligence. How are you going to connect with people? How are you going to connect with people?
Yeah, as with anything in life, it's a balance. I mean, IQ, we thought it was fixed, but actually we can show that depending on your emotional state of mind, you know, it can actually shift somewhat, which is super interesting. I'm far from intellectual. I'm far from intelligent. I'm not even sure what my IQ score is. And it's, you know, it's not really impeded me in any sense of life, because I was never drawn to academia. Emotional intelligence, as you said, it's something that can be learned, and it's something that can fluctuate. And we're all starting off in these different kind of areas. And then you can just do a simple test and then you can work out where you are. But the work comes in coming out of your comfort zone with a lot of these things, doesn't it? And in order to, there's no growth in comfort zones. That's just not possible. So us starting to be a bit more open when it doesn't feel safe, it's just a muscle we haven't learned to flex yet. But the value of it, of being able to just, you know, play this range, this spectrum of, like, let's call it masculine and feminine, if you will, you know, just being able to play the whole range and just display the capability to be okay to be rejected, to be okay to be seen as not knowing. You know, these are things, coming back to men for a moment, we're not very good at, we're terrified of, we've had no experience or no really role models of which to look up to in that. And yet women are asking us to do more of it, rightly so. And if we can do that, just as humans, then we can start to relate to each other, because authenticity is, it's everyone wants this now, especially on social media. I mean, I wish I didn't even have to be involved with it. It's a tool that when used can be a beautiful thing and can make you laugh. And there's so much greatness on there. And yet that's also what I think is leading to a lot of depression in kids and all of the terrible statistics, which, you know, we could go into, but let's not. But learning just to be more okay with just trying these emotions, it draws us to one another, because there's so much fakeness out there. There's fake news, there's you know, influencers showing the ideal version of life, which we know deep down is nonsense, and yet it plays to that part of us that wants the better life. And yet then someone else comes online that's just real, and you're like, oh, thank God, you know, it's just I can trust this person, my intuition says yes. They're not perfect humans either, but that's the point. They're okay displaying that. That's where I think we need to go. And yeah, emotional intelligence 101 is just learning to be okay with these aspects of ourselves. And yeah, I mean, to shift gears to something specifically, What's your relationship like to anger as a human and as a man, and how do you go about working with that? Because it's a powerful boundary emotion, and yet we're told that it's something that's not okay to express, and men and women.
So with me, I've been through my own adventures, because challenges is not the word in my dictionary. I use adventures, and I tell you the story. And you know, we get angry, we get really, really feed off with a lot of things in our life. And mindfulness has really come into my life, or meditation has been my journey for a long time. And I have come to that level of understanding that, you know, it's me who can manage my emotions. I can't manage anybody else's emotion. Until I manage my emotions, I will be managing everybody else's emotion as well. I understand. I will be in my place where I am, where my boundaries are, where I cover myself. I'll give you an example. So we had a issue in our house with our guttering system in the house. I'm not an expert in guttering. I'm not an expert in the problem with the pipes and everything. You ask me about mental health or educating somebody, I will be the one. I invited an expert to come and sort it out. And we negotiated the price, and everything was well discussed. He sent an engineer who came, and he looked at the problem, and he said, sorry, for the thing which you asked, this is not the one. It needs to be charged that much. And I say, you haven't done anything. You just looked at the problem, and then you just said, oh, it's going to charge you more. I want to speak to your, I'm not going to pay you while you're here, because your boss has told me that you're going to spend about 3-4 hours to sort this problem out. But you are just decided not to do that. So I said, listen, this is not going to happen. I need to speak to your boss. So I say, okay, speak to my boss. Now, when I called the boss wasn't pleasant. The boss was extremely angry with something. But he took all his anger out on me, a customer, and started swearing at me. Right, left, and center. And I was holding the phone like this, and my wife was standing next to me, and she says to me, so why you are not retaliating? I said, I don't want to go to his level to retaliate, because I think he's not in the right frame of mind, because he's talking to a customer, and the customer is, even the customer is not right, you should just not going to swear at the customer. Even I said, I'm not going to pay you. You just said, Mr. Dosa, the discussion which we had, this is how a mindful person, or a person who can actually manage their control, talk to a person. If you are my person who is going to give me services, you can't actually swear at me. You will say, Mr. Dosa, I sent somebody. He looked at your problem, and what we discussed is not going to be the one which we suggest is this. And I will say, yeah, thank you very much, because I'm not an expert in your field. You are an expert. You must be telling the truth to me, correct? But he swore at me for 15 minutes. Then he put the phone down. And I was listening, and I said to my wife, listen, you know what? You just need money. I'll just give him the money. It's not a problem. I paid the guy. Do I recommend that person to next person? No. Do I recommend his business to anybody? No. Will I be able to tarnish his reputation in the social media? Yes, I can. Will I do it? No, because I'm not that type of person. Well, I've gone through with my own adventures, and I've learned this is not me, this is not my problem, this is his problem. He's carrying it. He should take care of himself. I'm not the one. I'm just going to guide him. I'm going to give my feedback, which I did tomorrow, next day. I called the company and said, you know, I want to make a complaint. And guess who picked up the phone? He picked up the phone. And he started apologizing to me. And I said, it's not the way you should treat your customer. I'm not an expert in your field. You are an expert in your field. You should have told me, Mr. Dosa, you asked for this. It's not actually right for us to do it right now, but this is what we suggest, correct? And that's how I dealt with my emotions, and that's how I dealt with a lot of things coming into my life. Life is full of surprises, I said to a lot of people, and myself as well. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new journey. Gratitude. Listen, learn to be thankful that what you got right now. You are healthy, you are talking, you are listening, you are seeing, you are eating, you are drinking, you are going to the loo. Everything is in the right order. So why can't you just say, thank God, I got everything. I'm surrounded by people. Even on the Zoom call, I'm talking to people. But because we are conditioned to a lot of things, and that conditioning needs to be unconditioned. And before my journey, this has been a great adventure in my life, and I've learned a lot of things. And that's how I look at life and see life in different ways. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Very much so, yeah. Very much.
So tell my audience how they connect with you. And as I was going to put a lot of information about you, about your website and about your services, what you offer. But tell my audience as to which part of their life you mainly focus on.
The people I tend to work with, and so this may resonate with someone listening, is someone that has perhaps achieved a certain level of success in lives, but they're still not feeling it. They feel like there's something missing, and that can show up in several ways. That can feel like there's like a disconnect in the relationships around them, perhaps a partner or a lack of partner. So I like to work with that and deepen that. There are people that, yeah, like there's no passion in what they're doing. There's almost a sense of maybe even boredom at work. And it's like, oh, is this it? Is there nothing more? And so I love to help people find out what it is that they're missing. And there's a depth of connection that sort of flows through everything. That's the phrase that I like to use. It's not about us improving ourselves. It's about us understanding who we already are, what's already great about ourselves, and operating from that place. Because people that are lacking a certain form of direction in their lives can realign quite easily from this place. And that's why I call my company, my coaching company, Realign. And finally, I love to work with people that, yeah, are working with this sense of stress and overwhelm and like, how do I deal with this? You know, that they're not even enjoying themselves anymore in life or family, work, whatever it is. And because of my own experience, you know, helping people shift their mindset around that. Again, not by becoming something better than they already are. That's self-esteem talk, and that's achieving something. It's not about that. It's more coming from a place of self-worth, self-acceptance, which is it's once you carve out self-worth for yourself, you uncover what's already there. That's not going anywhere, and it's like coming back to that place, that center in you. That's what excites me. That's what Realign is all about. It's like there's nothing wrong with you. We're already here as we are. Let's just unpack that and shed some of the masks and the layers. So whether you're changing your career, you're in transition, whether you're working with stress, whether you're just looking for that inspiration, like let's find all of that within you. And from that place of connection, that place of self-responsibility, then you can connect to the people around you. Then you can connect to, you know, your purpose and your passion, but it starts from within.
Oh, absolutely. Is it the happiness is an inside job, not an outside job.
Right. Right.
And I was telling one of the people in the group, and I said, no, people say, so I have wrinkles and I got this, I got that on my face and my body, and everybody is looking at me. And I said, why can't you start bringing things from inside? Start containing yourself, and you see it automatically comes out from your body and everything. You started to feel rejuvenated. Everything really shift for you. And once you look at that and you people look at you and says, how do you manage to do that? And I'm here. I'm content here. I don't want to be content outside to show the lights of outside to come inside me. Nothing comes from outside in. Everything comes from inside out. And there is a very good, we conclude this podcast on a very good quote where it says, you know, when you break the egg from outside, his life dies. But when you break the egg from inside, the life begins. Yeah.
That's a nice way to finish it. Thank you so much for having me on, Sam. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's a pleasure talking to you. And thank you very much for being my guest today and on Chai with Sam Dosa. Please, I will put in all the information about Richard on this podcast. Please get in touch with him in regards to getting a transformation in your journey, wherever you are, whether your career, whether your life, whether your business. Get in touch. And looking forward to hearing from you all. Thank you very much. Bye for now.